Let's go.
What's up, everyone? This is T-Money, a.k.a. Tyler, coming at you for the Bingetown podcast. If you haven't heard any of the podcasts I've been on before, this is number three for me. And I'm out here just throwing heaters, to be quite honest. And if, again, if you never listen, I'm a fan of TV that's up its own ass. And I'm also a fan of making lists. And that's why at the end of the year, I listen to this great Bingetown content. And I think, look, let's put an exclamation point on this. Let's get everybody, well, the people that I know the best in a room. And let's talk about the top five shows that we have in this year of 2022. So joined on this podcast with me is my BFF AEAE, Jimmy Sweats.
Let's go.
We've got Luke.
Oh,
and last but certainly not least, my girl, Kathleen.
Hi, everybody.
Before we get going, don't forget to like and subscribe. We've got YouTubes. We've got Instagrams. We've got every different type of social media. We got Jimmy Sweats on the back end.
Just, hell yeah, let's
just
do it.
Crushing the content. These top five lists are going to give you some nice fodder for
for the
gram for some stories. Well, look, what we're going to do here is everybody is going to go around. We're going to start by five. We're going to count down. And when we have overlap, we're going to just seed that overlap to whoever has it the lowest on their list. But we're going to talk about each other's top five shows. And then at the tail end, I've got a little surprise for everybody here that we're going to finish up with. First and foremost, I think it goes without saying, even coming back from our Emmys podcast, this was just a stacked year of television. Mm-hmm. There is so much changing and happening in the world of streaming, and there's always things to look at. But like just today, I was looking at the 2023 shows that are coming out, and I was like, oh my God, I want to watch 50 of them.
We're book solid.
So literally, this is a stacked category. So getting it down to five was probably the hardest thing. I was telling them before the show that I had 20 that I really liked. I got that down to 12, and then this five was really I'm leaving some good shows off. But that's the point of this. I want to talk through, you know, these shows to me really rose above the rest for myself, and I know for everybody here they did too. So without further ado, I think what's best is to just get us going. We're going to rev the engines, all right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to start with Kathleen to lead us off with the number five.
And she's a mess over there.
All right. Okay, me? Okay, sure. So my number five, it could have been anywhere in the five, right? I fucking love this show. I think that covering a show on this podcast, we talk about it all the time. We're overcritical, right? Because we are absolutely minute by minute.
You're nitpicking.
We are nitpicking. So my number five is Amazon Prime's The Boys. Okay, so I wasn't on the season two coverage on Bingetown. Go check it out.
And wait, are we stopping each other when we like this is on my list as well?
Me as well.
How so? Is it very different than five for
yes.
you?
Yeah,
I think that as everyone will do their five, when you get to The Boys, you just add a little flavor and then you get
like yeah, Luke will
give your spiel and we'll see how far we'll see where it is on their list.
So for the
did
boys,
not make my list, unfortunately.
Listen, I watch a lot of TV shows, so number five is not a diss to be on my list. Every single one of my shows we've covered on the pod, The Boys, one of the most in-depth. I had a blast covering it. This season, I probably had the most issues with. I won't dive into it. Go listen to our coverage. But by the end, I did have some issues. It was such a fucking good season, though. Mm-hmm. The Boys crushes. I can't wait for season four. But other than that, sorry, I just keep dropping everything. Other than that, just this White Claw is really doing it for me. other than that, I don't really have much. So Boys, tell me where it falls.
Well, yeah, so first off, so we got number five, The Boys season three on Amazon Prime for Kathleen. Doesn't have much to add, so I'm going to ask some questions here. But first, Jimmy Sweats, Luke, are we talking a potential top two show for you two?
Yes, for me.
But we're going to so we're going to table The Boys for right now. And once we get to lower in your list, we're going to do a little bit more of a deep dive. I'm going to admit that I'm one of these people that during the pandemic watched the first season of The Boys, absolutely loved it, thought they did a great job. Never watched the second season or third season.
Insane.
So you're going to be doing some convincing of your boy to put some time in.
Which is hilarious because you were the first one to tell me I needed to watch season one.
Look, Jim, I'm a pioneer. I don't necessarily need to I don't need to keep going to keep that status.
I'm really happy. So that means you did say that you still liked season one. Everything you've seen,
it's one of the, I mean, me and my wife both watched it. We both loved it. I was telling them before, and anybody that's in a relationship on that listens to this pod will know, it's hard to get lined up with your spouse when you get connected on a show. So the moments in which we have time to watch TV, we end up watching like How I Met Your Mother or Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and not like, oh, do you want to watch like this hyper violent boys? Like, so I kind of just need to speed past her, and that's where I'm at. But, you know, I won't lie. There's obviously something that happened in the finale that didn't really trigger me to want to keep going. So, you know, we're going to have to talk about that. But, you know, we're tabling it for now. So,
and I'm just going to put a little just, you know, asterisk out there. We don't know each other's lists except for Tyler's. He sent it to us before we started the podcast. But me and Jimmy, I have a really, really strong feeling that we're going to have a very similar list here. Ordering is going to probably differentiate.
Yeah, we're going to get some nuance from each of these. So, Luke, that's a nice segue for everybody here. What's your number five?
So my number five, and here, Jimmy, you might have to stop me here too, is The Last Kingdom season 5, which came out in the beginning
of this year.
Did you not
think about that? I forgot about that because I thought it was technically at the end of the year.
So the
what
last
about you, Kevin? Did you have less?
I did not
have The Last Kingdom. So pitch, I'm some season 5. Mm-hmm. If you would ask me what season is The Last Kingdom on, I would have told you it came out this year. I'd never even heard of it. So give me a little bit.
So The Last Kingdom is one of the shows that we covered on the podcast, and Jimmy actually did a pitch down for us. So that was the show that he got me, Dave, and Brian to watch, and we literally loved the pilot so much that we ended up covering the whole 5 seasons of it. And this show is just like a very well done show.
Is it on Netflix? Is it Netflix?
Everything's on Netflix right now. Yeah. So the whole idea behind this show is that it's basically the 9th century Saxons, Danes, the Viking era. Like, it's kind of Game of Thrones, like historical fiction, but there's not really a lot of sci-fi, like fantasy in there.
And for anybody listening, there are going to be, every show we talk about is going to be spoilers. So just, you know, be forewarned, speed through if you're like, oh man, I haven't seen that season yet. You know, we're coming hard. So what's season 5 about?
So season 5 is actually going to be the last season that comes out for the show, but it's going to go the Peaky Blinders route, where there's going to be a movie that comes out next year that's going to close the series out. So season 5, it ends with kind of like a soft close where it can work as a series finale. There's still some things left open-ended purposely because they're going to come out with this movie that's been planned for a while now. And this show, man, it's very Game of Thrones-esque, where people aren't safe. They kill main characters, amazing action and gore and killing and all that. But the part that really drives me is that they crush the politics. That's stuff I look for in fantasy all the time. Like the petty kingdom rising and falling, the who's the head of the, you know, Umbria, and who's the head of, all of these things. Like, you grow to love them in 5 seasons, amazing character development. And one of our boys here, we've actually interviewed him. You can go check out our coverage of, say his name, Alexander
Viom.
Viom, yes. Also a main character of the Wheel of Time series by Amazon. Great guy. And we actually just talked to him again. So that second coverage should be out soon.
How did Jimmy book these people?
Oh,
God, this guy's
putting the door. He loves us.
This guy's a sales master.
But last thing I'll say on this, and we can move on. Maybe, Jimmy, you can add something if you want.
Jimmy, look, I mean, this is the thing too, right? For any show to be on your top 5, it's got to be like you love it, right? We talked about obviously the politics piece. I mean, what's really driving this?
So it's really honestly the character development, because the main character is someone who's caught in between the Dane-Saxon dispute here. He is a child of the Saxons, but he was raised by the Danes, so he's raised in this Viking culture, but with all of these family ties to the Saxon side. So it's about this whole conflict of him going back and forth side to side while Vikings are constantly coming in. And we're seeing the kingdom politics of how England is starting to form and really come together here. So it's just amazing to see this main character, who's such a loose cannon badass, just go from side to side. Just whatever he's doing, it's just so critically important to all these politics going on. At the same time, he's just absolutely growing and becoming more and more refined, because this show covers the span of, like, I don't know, 40 years.
Yeah, it's a long time,
because it's based off a completely written book series that well received, so it has source material to pull
from. It's historical fiction, so that they do go by times in history and try to make it accurate. So they jump, and that's the, I guess, the one bad thing you could say about The Last Kingdom is they don't go the route of the crown. And I would I appreciate that because I love the actors, but so much time goes by, you would think like the main character should be way older. And in the book series, he is.
They're doing some, but they keep that. They keep the good look up and some wigs.
Yeah, I mean, they throw a little gray on our girl Ethelflaed.
And the one thing that doesn't get brought up a lot in these sort of fantasy shows is like how female characters are treated. And I think this show has some of the best female characters.
Agreed.
Like, patronizing in any way, like these are some of the best.
Slay.
They're like Sansa Stark
level.
Yes.
I'm gonna say it right here.
I like three of my top like six characters are all girls, and you know, like if you listen to the coverage, like I was obsessed. They're like Sansa Stark plus. It's like how I see it.
Like, Sansa, like as she goes through Game of Thrones, and we talk about the character development, and then how she becomes like the big badass, taking over everything, Queen of the North, this and that. Like, we compared one of the characters from this show to Sansa, and actually, I believe we even put her above, right?
I think she's better, yeah.
Yeah, so that's saying a lot.
Mm-hmm. Let me just say that for a while, our Patreon episodes, I was the one editing them and on them, and there was full Last Kingdom coverage happening, and then every Patreon episode we did was also Last Kingdom coverage. Like, we were just like, what's everyone watching? And everyone's like, we fucking love Last Kingdom. And, like, talking about it for, like, months straight. It was so funny.
So Luke's out here pandering to the base right now.
I love it. So if you guys are
pandering even more here, two of our main characters of the new House of the Dragon show, their actors were both on this show in the later seasons.
Oh, man.
Baby Monk and then Helena.
His sister Helena.
Yes.
I love it. All right. Well, you caught Jimmy Sweats off guard.
Caught me, dude. Oh, that's so funny.
There's so much overlap. Then bam.
So
five for you. Where are we coming?
Wait. Yeah. Let me just say that I'm the one who pitched The Last Kingdom. And it's so hilarious that I let that fly.
Let me preface this.
Kathleen said, let me preface this without actually saying it when she gave her number five. So
let me preface this by saying I didn't know we were going this in depth. So next time I will, but they'll handle the boys once again.
I only
went
that in depth because like Tyler,
because
we're going in. Look,
yeah,
I can't make
you're
the
so
top
right.
10.
You're so
we would have sped through it. We've done in 40 minutes. But look, settle in, everybody. Get your glass of whiskey. Your boy has one.
Your boy has
and
one.
I want to hear, you know, this is the year in review. What are we talking about?
That's going to be one of the ones I go more in depth in where like you guys would have higher.
Yeah, no, Last Kingdom was good. You went that in depth because it's probably done for the talk. Sure. That's it.
Well, how does it end?
We're not telling you, dude.
Like,
watch the show.
Well,
are you talking about the quality of the last season?
I'm throwing out spoilers for everything.
No. We're not giving you the spoilers, but we will say that it was a very satisfying ending.
Yeah.
And it was so satisfying that we had the balls to say that we were comparing it to Game of Thrones and saying which one's better. And we still ended up saying Thrones just because of the entire thing. It's just like a spectacle. But Last Kingdom ending the way it did and having such a good ending, we were like, it was flirting.
It was it was so good, but it wasn't good enough to be in your top five.
Was,
so what is what is top five for you, Jim? What's number five?
T-Money. I didn't remember that it was a 2022 show. Okay, that's the difference. Okay, so Kathleen, let me preface this.
Is there there's a secret preface this drinking?
No, I just joked with him that like every time he has to make a decision, he's like, well, let me just preface by saying
I love to make sure that our audience knows that if I do a top five and something's number five, it doesn't mean that it's not very different than number one.
Pitchforks.
So
it's right now you put Last Kingdom.
Yeah. So my number five could be recency bias, but it is from the creators of Dark.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
And it is Netflix's 1899. 1899, we covered on the podcast. Amazing show. If anybody hasn't seen Dark, you need to go watch that right now. Three seasons, Tyler, you can jump in.
Yeah, I haven't seen Dark.
I thought you saw the
Jim hasn't seen. I think you should leave. So it's we're even.
I don't think that's the same.
They're exactly the same.
The reason you brought up Dark is because it's the same writers as the 1899.
Yes, the creators of 1899. They also created Dark. And basically, it did so well for Netflix, and they got praised so highly. Netflix basically said, listen, you got it. Do whatever you need to do and make this next show. It's a husband and a wife scenario here. The husband directs, the wife writes. Dark took them a long time, 7 years or so to get, and it became, to me, Luke, and many of us, a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. 1899 is a one season so far. We talked to Alexander Vion. Mm-hmm. star of the show. He's he's not the star, but he's one of the stars of the show. And he said that we should be looking at a three season series here. So it's tough. Again, we always say this, it's very tough to put something in your top five if there's only one season, but we're not saying all time here. We're saying of 2022.
I feel like Jimmy is defending the pick rather than selling it.
Yeah.
Look, I believe you, Jim. I think this show looks good. I was intrigued by the Netflix trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have Dark in one of my honorable mentions, or sorry, 1899 in one of my honorable mentions. It didn't make my top five because these guys, these writers, they do one of my favorite things in TV, in modern day TV, where it's like Severance, where they have the whole entire story written. It's like OA as well, front to back before they even start. So when you have that sort of direction, it really makes me want to wait to criticize anything almost, because everything, like how Dark went, everything changed every season, like just in such unexpected ways.
But this is a
ways.
Podcast. What did you like least about 1899?
1899, it had expected twists compared to Dark, where it was almost impossible to come up with things.
Okay.
Like, as we were podcasting, we were getting things right that I didn't expect us to get right.
Yeah.
So what Luke
a
was
bit of a bit of a simpleton show then?
No, as somebody who was not on the pod, I watch 1899 and the whole time I go, the fuck is going on?
No, yeah. So
I wouldn't say it's like easy to predict, but there were a couple of big things that I didn't expect us to just.
Yeah.
Nail.
So I think what Luke was getting at too, when we're talking about shows like Severance, Dark, that have it fully written out, you could even say Midnight Club, because we just talked about that as well. When there's a show that's fully written out and you know the trajectory of the show from season one to season three, season five, even if it's a two season series, whatever it is, sometimes that means that you're going to end a season without like this crazy banger, even though 1899 was a banger, and they would definitely argue, the writers, that it was a banger. But
the writers would argue it was a banger.
Yeah, when they wrote it, they were like, "We're writing a banger right here," and I mean it was great. But what I'm saying is, they have a three season arc that they have set up, and it's not fully made in a way where it's like, "Hey, we're gonna answer so much for you in season one." We actually compared it to Monty, and you'll appreciate this. We compared it to Westworld, because Westworld started off
recently canceled.
Yes, recently canceled.
Recently taken off the platform in general. Yeah, no one could ever watch it ever again.
Scrubbed and put on Pluto.
Westworld. So Westworld, we're looking at right here. Season one, I would say one of the best shows, seasons of TV I've ever seen. And it would make my top three, maybe. You know, season two, I still thought was phenomenal. And actually, on Rotten Tomatoes, has a higher percentage than season one. Then all of a sudden, you leave the park. And then you're getting into season three and four, and it starts going downhill. People start losing interest. We don't need to talk about some of the writers changing and stuff like that. But 1899 here, there's a similar situation without giving spoilers, where there could be a scenario where, I know, Timoney, this one's too recent to give spoilers, so we can't. But there's a scenario where there's a lot of mystery in season one, huge amounts of mystery. And if they go a certain way, it could go the Westworld way. And I was worried about that. But like I said, this season, I know you're joking and saying simpleton, and Luke was saying we guessed a lot, but it was so fun to podcast on, because we guessed a lot because we were throwing so much shit at a wall.
Right.
We podcasted, and every single episode we had a half hour of theories, just because it is so, like, you have to think so much. And if you're a casual watcher, you're just going to enjoy the ride and, you know, whatever. But if you're a podcaster, or if you're like you, Tyler, who you're now a podcaster, but I mean... But I mean, like, you know, you get into these shows, you think, you go to bed at night thinking about it. Those kind of shows, this 1899 makes you think, and you're like, what if it's this? What if it's that? What if it's this? And yeah, one or
it's
two.
It's a table setting season too.
Right? Yeah. And so we did guess some here and there, and some of them were the bigger ones. But I still think that it was so thought-provoking, not Severance thought-provoking, but it was thought-provoking in a way where I am pumped for season two. I have trust in the writer, because she wrote Dark, and again, Dark is top one or two of all time for us. That's why it made top five for me. That's all I'm going to freaking say about it, Timon.
I love that. Good acting, too. Everyone watch it subbed, not dubbed, because Netflix gives it to you dubbed. But a few of the characters speak English straight up, and then the rest speak all different languages, which is really cool. And I actually very much enjoyed reading the subs and letting the actors act, because we had screeners. So it gave it to a subs. But everyone else that I've talked to, like Bobby, our nephew watched it dubbed.
Wow.
So everyone was English.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And the screener drop. Not a big deal.
We get screeners for every show we cover, pretty much. No big deal.
Here.
It's no big
deal. $18.99 after the next two seasons.
Let me just tell you really quickly that Netflix is taking away password sharing. So what are we going to do about screeners?
They'll let us make a Binge Town account. I've already
Jimmy.
Already got into it. Got into the trenches.
Again, the simpleton jab is nothing more than a jab because I can tell you from the pitch down episode of Severance, you guys were already picking up on some of the things in the show. And I was like, God damn, you're like, This is why I don't go to Reddit. I just talk to you guys about shows.
No, trust me. So, when you pick apart a show like that, it surprises you.
Yeah, you've been conditioned by the darks of the world. So you're almost in their mind. Well, look, love that. 1899 season one. I'm going to go with my season five, with my number five real quick. And it's Barry. Season three.
Okay.
Barry, I don't know. Has anyone on here watched it?
I've seen four episodes.
I've seen a little bit, but it was very convincing when we did have our discussion about the Oscars, right?
Yeah. Or Emmys.
Emmys,
yeah.
Jesus Christ. you were hyping it up a little bit because it was nominated for Best Series, right? Go ahead.
Well, yeah. So Barry, Bill Hader's project, for those of you who haven't seen it. And again, I'm a sucker for a 30-minute show, eight episode seasons. You've already got me on the hook. Bill Hader, you know, longtime comedian. It's a dark comedy. And at the end of the day, it is the simple premise of, okay, what if a hitman decides that he wants to become an actor, which is in itself like a very funny thing to say. But the show is super deep. It's been going strong. So it just had its third season. And again, at this point in the show, most of the character development for our core plot characters is already here. And we kind of begin the season with the main character, Bill Hader. Barry is in a spot where he is kind of going off the deep end, if you will. His teacher and his best friend, played by Henry Winkler, it's the Fonz, if you didn't know it, is on to the fact that Barry is a killer. So that's kind of the thread that runs through all of season three. I'm going to point real quick. There's an episode for those of you that have seen it, the sixth episode of the series called 710N is the name of the episode. But this episode features a chase scene that is probably the best like cinematography and most interesting episode of television that I've seen in a really long time. And I think it's just, you know, we're three seasons in. I don't know how many seasons Barry is supposed to go, but it's kind of a triumph for me when this season came out in the beginning of 2022. It's the third season of this show. And when I'm sitting there at the end of the year writing down my shows, it's like going at the top of my list, which should tell you something about it. Character development is spotless. And the beauty of a good 30-minute TV show is like, if it is 15 different frames or scenes, there is not one line of dialogue or one frame that doesn't have a purpose.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. It is a tight show. So season three of Barry, number five for me. You've seen four episodes.
Yes, correct.
And you didn't keep going.
I was on a plane. So I watched them because I think my phone was dying. So I literally had to plug into the seat and watch whatever it was given to me. And I picked it and I remember really liking it, but it was one of those things where I'm like depressed on a plane, like on the way home from a fun trip. And I'm sad to be on that plane. So I watched four episodes of Barry and then I have bad taste in my mouth because I'm like,
well, it is a dark comedy, which is you're not going to feel great about it. Multiple
right.
Parts.
So it's what genre, when nominated for an Emmy, what genre is it in?
So it wasn't in, and that's. Again, this is where you can pick Nick. Nitpick.
Who's Nick?
I can pick Nick. It was not nominated for the Emmy for the drama series. It was nominated for comedy.
Which, right.
Again, if you watch the show, there are funny parts, but it doesn't have, you know, it doesn't have a laugh track. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have, you know, it's not a comedy to me.
But 30-minute Bill Hader, everyone says that's a comedy.
Yeah. And I think that's what kind of throws people off. The first couple of seasons did win Emmys, but it's almost it's like shocking how much of a drama it becomes. And I think that's, and this main character, you know, it's got the classic syndrome of a show that's based on a main character who is deeply flawed, and at the end of the day is a hitman. He is killing people throughout the show.
He's badass at points, I'm sure.
Oh, he's, yeah. I mean, his character is just, he's ruthless, but like, it's similar to the whole Breaking Bad like piece, how like, at the end of Breaking Bad, you're like, I shouldn't like Walt, but I'm rooting for him. Like, you shouldn't be rooting for Barry, but you kind of are. And that's what season three really does well, because I think it starts to turn the show into being like, this guy's actually a piece of shit. And as a viewer, I need to start rethinking, like, where am I, which characters I'm identifying with, which is, again, so season three of Barry, something I would highly recommend. Number five for me.
So B-Tom's actually a huge fan of Barry, and he always pushes that on us as well. A question I have is, I don't know if you mentioned this, but is Bill Hader involved with the writing process of it?
Yeah, so Bill Hader is the writer and the director.
Oh, so this is like his.
This is like Bill Hader's baby.
Gotcha. It's like his passion project.
Yeah,
gotcha.
It's like his thing. And that's where, like, an HBO obviously does, like, the behind-the-episode stuff. Mm-hmm. And again, if you start watching the show, you'll run through it fast. And if you get to this episode, in episode six of this season, they do this big expose on, like, how they actually filmed it, because it is stunning to watch. And, like, it's things like that that I'll also nerd out about. I'm like, my God, how did they make
it? Barry's been on the list for a while.
Yeah, it's like...
That might have bumped it to my top of my list.
So... This is coming in at number five for T-Money. So we've got Barry for me. We've got 1899 for Jimmy. We've got The Last Kingdom for Luke. And we've got Kathleen with the boys. So let's roll into number four.
Do you want to do four and loop back around?
No. Okay. We waited. I mean, I feel like you've been in the... no one puts Kathleen in the corner.
That's so true. my number four is... could be recency bias, but I really don't think so. It is The White Lotus on HBO. This was, I said this on our coverage of it. You can listen to a whole coverage with me, Jimmy, and Kyle. It was Game of Thrones level style hype every Sunday night. Like, the way me and my girlfriend were just like dying to watch this show. This show is like such a steady level climax where it throughout the episodes, I can't believe when they end. I'm like, you're fucking kidding me, because I'm hanging on every word. I love every single cast member. They stack these casts. Mike White is so good at what he does, which season
Jets
one.
Quarterback?
Is that a Jets quarterback? Okay. Yeah. Love that. Anyway, cast is great. So well acted. It's like sort of a murder mystery if you haven't seen it, but not. So the season one is six episodes. Season two is seven episodes. Season two is what we're talking about here.
Kathleen, we're gonna gush on this for a second, but okay, before we do, Jimmy, Luke, is this on either of your top five?
No, haven't seen it.
It's on my
honorable mentions.
So this is number three for me as well. So Kathleen and I are gonna gush about this. Cool.
Do it.
Luke's the only one who hasn't seen it of the four of us.
Haven't seen a lick.
Again, I don't care. You're going to be spoiled. and here's the deal to Kathleen. The point you were making, to me, it matters when a TV show kind of enters the realm of like everyone is talking
water cooler talk.
Yep.
Yeah. It's water cooler talk. It's in the jargon. And season one was a slow build.
Yes.
We see it all the time with shows that are really well done. You know, it's hard to catch on right off the bat, but then it gathers steam before season two. By the time season two came out, everybody had watched season one. They loved it. And then season two was just a banger from the jump.
Absolutely.
What I love about White Lotus and why it's number three on my list is that I really also respect a show that it is a lot of different things to different people, right? We are on this podcast analyzing television, so we're going to talk about some of the nuances to the show. But also, you could watch the show through the lens of, hey, it's a murder mystery, and I'm just seeing what pays off. And you can get a lot of value out of it, too.
Right.
You can see this show through many prisms. And while I'll talk about it, you know, as someone that has been in a relationship and now married for 15 years... Mm-hmm. Season one of White Lotus is the class season, right? Mike White said it's about like the crux of it is about class. Season two is the sex season.
Yeah.
And the, for me, when we look at all the different storylines, the juxtaposition of what's the difference between love and romance is what's so great. And it explores you know, transactional relationships and the purity behind them mixed with the romantic relationships and, you know, Aubrey Plaza's character's, you know, idea of, oh, this is what a relationship should look like.
Absolutely.
This is what one shouldn't. And it really flips that on its head. So give me, I mean, what is your, what's your favorite part of the season?
The Megan Fahey, Aubrey Plaza, Theo James, and I do not know Ethan's character, actor's
Megan
name.
Megan Fahey, who plays Daphne, is just
10 out of 10.
She is, she's like a reliever in baseball that's throwing a lot of off speed stuff in the beginning of the game. And then she's just throwing 101 miles per hour.
Yeah. So my favorite thing about The White Lotus is you're not necessarily like, this is a drama in the way where you are genuinely watching people on vacation. You are watching them interact with people. Sometimes the different couples and different people on this vacation interact with each other, but genuinely you're watching these people. And what are you smiling
at? About to text me. I thought he was about to text me, say whiskey or some shit.
I mean, if we could get whiskey ran down, that'd be great. No, but I wasn't. Oh my God. What a gentleman this guy is.
Okay, but genuinely, like, human interaction is the show, and it's my favorite, my absolute favorite. It is absolute bias because Aubrey Plaza is one of my favorite actresses of all time, and Megan Fahey is as well. She was on The Bull Type. She was one of the, just like, in a freeform show that was a standout freeform show. Like, shouldn't have been on Freeform. That was how good it was. She was a standout on it for all four seasons. So I adored the interactions between the two. I said this on our White Lotus coverage, but Megan Fahey talking about men and the elephant of it all, like, that was one of the best moments. I remember me and Alex looking at each other being like, wow. And I just know for a fact that this bitch is going to be so booked and fucking busy after this. She is an absolute breakout star, and I am upset about it.
In the finale,
because she's mine.
When Ethan says that Harper and her husband are having an affair, the look she gives,
the change,
and then the change. I mean, the acting is superb. And Jennifer Coolidge, Stifler's mom.
Oh, my goodness.
MILF.
It's incredible. Like, similarly, when you start a show off with somebody dying and it's a mystery, it's on the writing to, you know, like, how long can this go on? Sure. Right. You can't have, like, if Jennifer Coolidge was in every season of White Lotus, you'd be like, so this woman goes to.
Yeah, I said that on the pod.
And
yeah.
Someone dies every time. So it was also a great bit of writing how it was like, look,
you two peas, bro.
Two peas. These two must be best friends for a very long time.
It's also a great piece of writing. And Mike White talked after the finale about how, you know, she has this crazy, like, guns blazing scene, and then she has the derpiest death in the world, which is, again, a testament to the show, how it's written, the character development. It honestly blew me away this season.
You mentioned it for Barry, White Lotus, and another show I might mention for HBO down the line in this pod. Them doing the after show, the behind the scenes, the like actors talking, HBO fucks in that sense. Like, they really put care into their show. They don't just drop an episode and leave it. They are like, let me show you exactly how I fucking made it. And you make it, and it makes you appreciate it so much more. And I fucking love HBO for that.
And let me ask a question here. And I guess you can even chime in here too, Jimmy. Is season two, like, is it a significant jump, fall? Is it usually about the same? Like, what's the pulse of, like, the general narrative,
like,
comparative?
Better? Yeah, yeah. I think everyone would say season two is better, but I really like season one. I watched it live week to week with Alex last year as well. It was, like, right when we first started dating, and we were like, let's watch this White Lotus show.
I personally think season two is just, like, the pacing of the show and the voice of the show, they found a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But in the same token, I will add that, like, look, it all depends on who you talk to, because season one can get pretty fucking uncomfortable for someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me jump in here, because my thing was that I jumped in on White Lotus around the time that Kyle jumped in, another Bingetown host that I'm sure you guys
never
all heard. He was on the White Lotus season two episode that we just dropped. My hot take, I appreciated this for season one. I liked season one, but I wasn't even close to how everyone was saying I love it. And I think it's really interesting, Timoney, that you talk about the Prism thing, because I went into that season going, oh, I'm watching a murder mystery. Like, I didn't know anything about it, right? True. So I'm watching this and going, okay, Steph, we're watching this murder mystery. Everyone keeps saying it's good. Season one was written, was directed, was scored, I feel like, to make you so much more anxious than season two.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, and it's funny because he definitely, all these seasons he does are themed. And he even said that the third season, the theme is going to be religion, which I'm kind of afraid of.
Yes,
Catholic.
It's going to be in like Japan or something, and they're going to do religion. So I'm kind of afraid of that. But it's like, yeah, they're intentionally cringeworthy, and that's where the dialogue slaps with the show so hard. Where it's like, you know, and see, whether it be in season one, Connie Britton talking about like it's really hard to be a 16-year-old white kid in America, and or in like season two when, you know,
Theo James
character is like these sexual harassment lawsuits.
Yeah,
these are complete bullshit.
Or so, Daphne, like we said on the pod, but Daphne being like, I voted. Like, what's going on in the world? And Aubrey's like, are you fucking serious? That was like one of the best right off the bat.
There's just so much going on in the world. Well, yeah. There's a lot going on in the world right now. But for me, White Lotus is definitely something that I look forward to. And I think everybody, it's by the time season three comes out, it will be in the zeitgeist of culture even more. Like, everybody will have seen the first two seasons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've all ridden the wave with, you know, the Breaking Bads, the Game of Thrones, the House of Dragons, which you cover.
Yeah.
And those almost elevate a show to me because it's nice to be able to BS with someone.
Yeah.
After work, what do you think the Daphne's up to?
I'm thinking about that.
Is her trainer her kid's father?
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
So look, White Lotus season two gets Kathleen and me off the board.
So, yeah, let me just round out what I was saying about season one. The acting was amazing for season one, and with me going into the wrong lens, and with it being a little slower, like you said, Timoney, I think you nailed season one. Season two, I had as an honorable mention because it was a freaking banger. I thought the acting was amazing. Jennifer Coolidge, MVP for season one, season two. I don't know necessarily MVP, but I'm just saying it that way because she's freaking amazing. My whole thing with season one was I'm looking at it as a murder mystery, and really it's basically like, it's like the joke where it's like Seinfeld, like nothing's happening, but it's, you're entertained, but nothing's happening. Oh, somebody dies, you know, and that didn't do it for me in that way. Season two actually gets into like, once you get halfway through the season, it's not nothing's happening. You can start to taste who's going to die or what the death is going to be.
It's intriguing.
Yeah,
it's
and then intriguing. You're like, all right, I know where this is going enough where here's my murder mystery and let's rewind and figure it out. We got the beginning, let's get, you know, or we got the end, let's get back to the beginning and figure it out. That added to season two for me.
Let me just say, nothing's happening. Eating ass, that nothing's happening. you're kidding.
Well, yeah, nothing happening. That has nothing to do with the death in episode one, but that is happening.
I mean, Jennifer Coolidge, again, she is just, Mike White and her are apparently like BFFs, so he knows how to get the best out of her. Mm-hmm. But I mean, she was a highlight for you in season two. I'm kind of questionable on someone that wouldn't tell me that my significant other is fucking their uncle. That's just me.
Right?
That's a bugaboo of mine.
Yeah.
Well, look. Everybody listen to the White Lotus pod that dropped right before this if you want to hear more, because
we deep dive, baby.
Kathleen and Jimmy
and Kyle,
who I've never heard of before, go into the weeds.
We love Kyle, big fan.
So Luke, you've been quiet over there. You've been grabbing whiskey for me. But now I want you to really get on the horn here and give us number four.
I'm going to disappoint you here because I'm going to wait for my commentary on this show because I'm sure that it's much higher on your guys' list. And this, it killed me to put it at number four, but my fourth best show of 2022 is the best show on Apple TV, Severance.
And
trust me, it literally could have been two.
I think this is, every show in the top five is good. So I think this is a good time to bring it up. Jim, is this on your top five?
Should I say where?
Yeah.
Number two.
It is number two on mine.
Three.
So we've got a four, three, and two. So This is a pro Severance podcast, hell obviously. Yeah. So
wait, who pitched Severance?
I don't know.
He's a good guy.
This handsome, bearded,
some freaking baldy.
Some baldy here. So Luke, give us your favorite part of Severance now that it's everybody's heard the pitch down of it, clearly.
Sure. Yeah, we don't have to go too into the weeds with it, but what I'll say about it is essentially Black Mirror Plus. Like, it's a singular Black Mirror episode expanded onto a series that's super well thought out. Again, falls into the category, which I learned from Tyler on the pitch town, that essentially the whole show was written before they started, which is amazing. I love that. Ben Stiller, fuck yeah. This show is so well received by Rotten Tomatoes. Like, critics had it at 97%. Audience was like above 80%, whatever it was. Like, everybody loved this show. And I think when season two comes out, it's going to start like actually hitting mainstream. It's going to freaking get there. But it's so hard to talk about this show without like major, major spoilers.
We are spoilers.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this podcast, you should be spoiled. Hell yeah.
So it's been a while, so correct me if I'm wrong. literally. Correct me if I'm wrong about Milton, right?
Yeah, Milton.
Yeah.
Milton's dance off is the best thing to come out of this entire show. When the entire team gets the party and he's fucking my favorite part of the
Zach Cherry is just an absolute star.
Yeah.
We talked before about how I'm a big Succession guy. Actually rewatched it for the third time since the last time we've caught up.
Yeah.
So I'm just, and he's in like an episode in season two of Succession. And I just love that he's got a big break because Zach Cherry is incredible in Succession.
Wait, which one?
He's basically their like keeper. The dancing.
Milton, you're talking about. I just didn't know by the actor name. No,
Zach Cherry, and I'm looking up just to make sure I'm not bungling. Zach Cherry is Dylan.
Oh, from the Magicians.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
he's a lucky guy from the Magicians.
Yeah.
He's Timani. You'll appreciate this, man. It's a commercial, dude. He's famous, but he's not.
He's famous, but he's not like that.
Yeah.
I obviously pitched Severance before it was even done, and so I was loving it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm being hypercritical of the show, between like episodes 3 and 5, it maybe gets a little bit, you know, as the audience, you're getting a little bit like, okay, what's happening? Why do I care about these, you know, baby freaking lambs chilling in one spot? But like, the finale of season one of this show is the best finale of the year.
Yes, bar none, correct.
In my opinion. Sure. It is just from the jump, like, and just a stunning accomplishment to me.
My arm hair for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Standing up to the ceiling, my arm hair
and
for 45
just
minutes.
Just to add on to it, if Dave or Alki, friend of the pod Alki, were to say what their best show of 2022 is, they would say Severance over House of the Dragon, like over everything that's come out this year. So
it's, yeah. I mean, again, the other piece for me. So we talk about knowing where the show's going. We talk about having the backing, which Severance obviously does. We talk about great directing. Go watch Escape from Dannemora if you haven't watched it yet. Ben Stiller, the guy is always throwing a fastball. But
just unmatched tension, cinematography. Yeah, but amazing,
I mean, look, in episode 7, so when it's getting a little bit like, okay, the mystery's going, but we're not sure where it's going. Mm-hmm. Then in episode 7, they literally kill the security guy right at the beginning. It's like, from that point on, this show just elevates. Yeah. And then the finale is just so gripping that, again, anybody I've talked to, and now, Severance came out, I think, what was it, February or March when it first came out? I think in May.
February 18th, the pitch down.
I have talked to so many people that have either been watching it from the jump or have caught on to it later, you know, just binged it a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And like, the finale just is the pinnacle of keeping you wanting more. So I'm excited for season two. And honestly, Luke, to your point, again, this is our top five. So I could go between Barry, White Lotus, Severance, which are the ones that I've already laid out. But Severance, to me, the finale is really what put it over the top.
Season two is going to start just flooring it. Like, we're going to be hitting the ground running, which is going to be amazing. Who knows how long it will take, but I full trust on the team now. Like, that season one sold me. I'll watch whatever.
in a world where I feel like right now loyalties with streaming services are all over the place. Yep. Everyone hates Netflix. Yeah. Amazon's canceling things, like, especially in my world, which is just like queer sci-fi dramas, basically. They're canceling everything. So like it is like free agency right now. And Apple TV was always one where I'm pitching Ted Lasso to someone and they're going, oh, like, I just don't have Apple TV. I'm sending my thing to everyone I know. I'm like, just watch Ted Lasso. Severance is right up there. Even today, I was with my girlfriend and all of her college friends, and I heard at least like 6 or 7 people be like, oh, Severance. Severance's so fucking good. I'm like, it is slowly building this traction where not everyone in the world is talking about it, but enough people like have secretly watched it and are just like, damn, this fucking
iconic rock. Coverage is like images of the show too, with the head open and him typing on the desk.
Yeah. All the streaming services are going through like a reckoning right now, which is crazy. But the only one that isn't is Apple, because if you think about it, I mean, Apple's the one that its revenue is not driven by Apple's like, I don't give a fuck.
I pay $4.99.
Yeah, they're like, I don't give a fuck what this costs. Like, we'll just have this go. Like, you guys can all fight it out, and then we'll just make this cheaper for people that buy our phones, and all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's the other nice piece is, as a fan, I'm like, Severance is gonna finish. This show's gonna happen.
Definitely.
So
good pick, Luker.
Love that, Luke. Jim, do you want to get in on anything on Severance? It was number two for you as well. I know.
Yeah,
I
it was number two. Tyler, you pitched it, so I was ready to go. You know, I really enjoyed the pilot. It freaking really brings you in the pilot, and then going through the rest of the season, like Luke said, Black Mirror just expanded. Black Mirror's pissed that they didn't think of this plot themselves for an episode. Seriously. But yeah. Adam Scott kills it. Like you said, T-Money, Zach Cherry, our boy, oh God, what's his name from?
John Turturro?
Yes, John Turturro from The Night Of, from Transformers. You know, he kills it. I mean, listen.
Hell yeah.
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken. I mean, the craziest thing that Tyler was saying is this.
They'll check who you were talking about before, by the way. I was so confused because I was like, who the hell is Milton? But I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to kill the flow.
No, I knew it sounded off in my head. It sounded
Trammell Pillman is the actor that plays Milchek. And that guy is also, if you look at it's always interesting. Like, I love when I'm watching a show and then you look at the cast and you click on like Trammell Tillman's IMDb and you're like, oh, he's going to be in like a huge movie coming up, because the guy just knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, right.
Milchek. Great actor. Yeah.
So I'm going to do one piece of trivia for Luke before we go on. Mm-hmm. Name me one thing that he promises Dylan when he's trying to open the door in the finale.
Oh my God.
Oh, is it,
I know
it. Offer him pancakes or some shit?
No, I got it. Names of his children.
Saying what incentive?
Yeah, what additional perks are on the team?
Oh, I thought he was like, I'll tell you the names of your kids.
Well, he dangles that, but there's
the waffle party.
The waffle party.
Well, he already had the waffle.
Yeah, but he walks out.
Waffle sex.
Yeah, right.
Finger things?
When he's like sitting there trying to like.
Oh, he's like, I'll let you. Yeah. What the fuck does he say? That's a good question.
We're gonna come back.
Number two, you should know this.
we're gonna come back to this question later.
Okay,
on,
okay.
But it's a great trivia question because he's offering him some hilarious things. It just kills me. Yeah.
Rounded out, T-Money brought it up during the pitch town. Ben Stiller created and directs or produces T-Money.
I think executive
produce. He's a director. He's a director.
Yeah, he directs half the episodes. Yeah, but he's like. Yes, it's Ben Stiller's he's not the writer, but he's like the main guy driving it. But it's an all-star team, so can't say enough about it.
What's your number four, James? You bet.
It's on my list.
I don't know. I think it might be. All right, so we are going with another show that ended in 2022. I'm going with Peaky Blinders.
Oh, good one.
Ooh, does that hit anybody else?
That's my number three.
Wind it up.
Number three, so we got... Kathleen?
It is an honorable mention for me. I did not put it on my list.
And that's questionable to say that it's ending, because that's also the last Kingdom route of having...
That's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I was going to say when we said another one of those types of shows. We have a sixth season of Peaky Blinders. It ended, and to be honest, I thought it was one of the best finales of any show, and because it was so good, I don't even need a freaking movie, and that's hard to say, because usually you always want more content, but I would have been fine if they said nothing. We're done. That's it. That's the ending. But we are going to get another movie, and we are going to get our boy Tommy Shelby back. Again, spoiler alert.
About season Six.
Yeah. So five. I don't care.
Every actor every... had to go film Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, when I say Peaky Blinders, Tommy Shelby, we talk about, you know, best actors, and sometimes people will say, and this isn't fair at all because there's the Walter Whites of the world. There's a million times, you know, Peter Dinklage, a million actors, but people always go like, oh yeah, but that's TV acting, you know, and that's not fair. We know that Cillian Murphy is in plenty of movies, but Tommy Shelby, Cillian Murphy acting as Tommy Shelby is probably a top three, maybe one or two.
He's on my
acting,
Mount Rushmore. Yeah.
Mount Rushmore of acting performances of all time. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cillian Murphy himself says that it takes so hard to get it's so hard to get into Tommy Shelby's character and headspace that he is like fully depressed for a long time after. Mm-hmm. And he said it takes a toll on him, and you can tell because it bleeds through the screen. I refuse to give too many spoilers with this being a finale in that way, but all we need to say is that it bleeds into a situation where they're actually moving from just Birmingham to now they actually aren't in Europe anymore. They're in they're global, North America, United States. We have a big throwdown. I guess I could spoil it in a way where Michael is now public enemy number one for the Shelbys. We talked about this in our coverage. He is one of our favorite characters, and his character development and then his turn was very interesting, and him versus Tommy was super, super interesting. I can't say enough. And I all I need to say, really, when it comes to Peaky Blinders season six and it making this list, is that it nails it. It nails the ending. And you really don't get that too often. And it nails it so good that I don't need any more content. And I will pat myself on the back, Lukey. I did kind of guess the ending for our boy Tommy, but that's another one of those things where it's like you're throwing shit at a wall, because it was really, really, it was a twist, and it was an awesome twist. And that's all I really need to say about it.
And then season six, which came out in the middle of this year, it's sitting on Rotten Tomatoes with 100% critic score, which is like kind of, that's pretty damn rare to get for a closing season. You never see that anymore. And I cannot emphasize enough how much Cillian Murphy kills it as Tommy Shelby.
Yep.
He's on my Mount Rushmore of acting performances, up there with like Heath Ledger as the Joker. Like, that is literally one of my favorite performances to watch of all time. And it's so far above so many things we're seeing on TV nowadays. But one of the things about Peaky Blinders that's amazing is I was thinking about it today, they might be the GOAT show of supporting actors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Tom Hardy's performance in the show as a supporting actor is amazing.
Adrian Brody
is one of the best antagonists I've seen in like a modern show.
Yep.
I'll throw Anya Taylor-Joy in there, even though she wasn't everybody's favorite character here. And then even the later season villain in Oswald, Sam Claflin. I think his name is Sam Claflin. He's amazing. Like, this is one of the best shows where the supporting cast, like, it's just out of this world acting. And you know, you said it best. Like, I can recommend the show to anybody. It's, to me, I prefer this to even Breaking Bad. It's like in that same genre. But yeah, this was one of my favorite. This was my number three. This was your number four.
This is my number four. Yes.
There you go.
Love that. I will say Peaky Blinders is a huge blind spot, no pun intended, for your boy. And something that I fully intend to get caught up with, but I have not. I've seen the first episode about three times because I keep trying to get into it, and I just gotta rev the engines.
Well, here's the deal, Timani. It is an hour, but it's only usually six episodes a season, so I'm pretty sure that's consistent, right, Luke?
And I would argue that season one may be considered my least favorite, which is a hard to sell to people. But every other season two is top two. Okay.
Yeah, and I would love to see you go through this entire show and talk about it, because you're a huge fan of Boardwalk Empire, and similar time period, and I loved Boardwalk Empire as well, but I would say Peaky Blinders is like a million times over it. So I want to hear your opinion, and that's why these top fives are awesome, because it's just taste. It's based on what you think.
Love that.
We're good there.
So look, we are, because of the overlap, we're coming in for a landing soon here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we've got my number four. So Barry was my number five. White Lotus was three. Severance was two. So my number four was a show on HBO called The Rehearsal, which, again, I sent my list out to these folks because I just wanted to make sure everybody had seen all the show or at least heard of the show.
It was offensive. Just saying, Tyler's offending us all.
The only one I didn't know, I'll be honest.
You didn't know it at all?
I've never heard of this. So interesting. It was, okay. It was worth you doing that.
Jay Spang, did you ever?
I had heard of it, but I never watched
it. And I had seen the first few episodes.
So look, I'm not going to go too deep into this, but if anybody's listening to this podcast and saying, that guy, T Money, I really like where he's coming with television, which I know most of you are. The Rehearsal on HBO is Nathan Fielder's new project. Nathan Fielder is a comedian. He did a show on Comedy Central that is on Hulu and HBO Max called Nathan for You, which I think is hilarious. But again, he is extremely deadpan. That his whole style of comedy is that he is cringeworthy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he's always going to ask the additional question when someone says something open-ended. But this show, what is so great about it is TV to me, again, is in some ways always been extremely formulaic, right? You've got your protagonist, your antagonist, you've got the plot. Like, this show is just off the fucking wall.
It is unbelievable.
So essentially, the first episode, just for if you never heard of it, Nathan Fielder, he is the host, and he finds real people through, you know, he has various means. He primarily uses Craigslist and Reddit, so he gets some characters, if you can imagine. But he finds people that have something that they need to do, a big moment in their life, or something that they need to prepare for, and he rehearses it with them. So literally, the first episode is him rehearsing with a guy that needs to tell his longtime Quizzo partner that he actually doesn't have his MBA. So again, hilarious concept. And that's kind of the hook of the show, right? And he uses every dollar of HBO's budget. I mean, to the point where in the first episode, this is going to happen in a bar. He recreates the bar exactly.
To a T.
Holy shit.
To a fucking T.
So it's, oh my God. So that's like the premise of the show that it begins with. But it's six episodes. Each episode is about 30 minutes. So it's a quick watch. But what's so great about it is he starts with this. You get the premise. The second episode is a woman who wants to practice having a child.
Oh my God, so cringy. After two, I was like, I quit. I can't.
And the show kind of unravels from there. And again, the formulaic piece is what I'm talking about. Like, this show isn't afraid to just essentially be like, oh, this whole thing that we were, as the audience, you were expecting this for six episodes. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck you. This is the direction we're going in. And he is cringe. The main Nathan Fielder, the host, the creator, he is cringeworthy. He is a genius to me. And his style of comedy is something that I've never seen before. And again, the only thing I will tell you is when the finale of this season of television came out, it both instantly got a second season from HBO, which with all the cuts they're doing, we know that's a big deal. And at the same point in time, the New York Times main writer wrote an article saying that it was an affront to
it was an affront
to humanity, and that he's the most cruel person in the world.
That's so good.
It is a lightning rod show, but
it's completely unscripted.
I mean,
or is it kind of
the big question mark? I had this argument with my friend Matt. I was like, it's scripted. And he's like, no, it's not.
Kind of like Curb Your I've never seen Curb Your
Look, the show is a reality show, but at the same point in time, it is a curated reality show. So it's one of those deals where, for me, when I watched the first episode, I had not seen Nathan For You, which is his show that he came out with on Comedy Central from like 2012 to 2015. It came out. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those deals where I watched the first episode and then HBO Max goes, hey, did you ever watch Nathan For You? And I'm like, I got to do this. I started watching that show. I just watched every episode. That became like one of my rotation of just shows that I could put on the background. It's really interesting. You don't know if it's scripted. You don't know if it's not scripted. Parts of it are. I really can't say anything other than you can't understand what I'm saying unless you
the attention to detail is to be like, I mean, so the top tier.
Cringeworthy is probably the number one
thing. I mean, like, I literally watched two in a row like this.
So, like all right, so let me ask you a question. So the fact that they recreate the bar and you're saying and they use like all of HBO's budget to do so, is the point of them doing that part of the show that you're watching?
Listen,
or because I was going to say it could be cheaper just to be like, hey, bartender or owner of the bar, can I you come after hours and use this?
So this is what they do. Yeah. They have paid actors or whatever be in the bar. They go over every possible thing it could have. What if the pizza comes out 5 minutes earlier? Now, what are you going to say? What if you're just about to tell them that you don't have your MBA and the waitress?
Okay. Now let me ask a question. Do they tell you or show you what happens when they actually do the thing that they're rehearsing?
Yes. Yeah. That's so the first episode, episode is the plot.
So we see a birth of a child.
And then Well, so let's just say this, like in the when
we're
trying
spoiling here, dude.
When they're trying to simulate children, this show is goes so far that like in the state of Oregon where they're filming it, a a baby can only be there for 6 hours at a time. So they literally are like shuttling babies out of a window in this house. Like the show, it honestly blows your mind when you watch it, and that's part of what's so funny about it. He ends up like moving he spends money to move the bar they created in New York to Los Angeles.
Oh my God.
So this,
Jesus,
it's one of these deals that this guy is out of control. And if you watch,
how old is he?
He's 38 when he's making.
Okay.
It. So if you'll watch two episodes and you'll either be like Kathleen and be like, oh my God, I can't watch another episode of this, or you'll be hooked like I was.
Yeah,
like
I don't know. It's like
just, oh, it's tough, that makes me gag. Yeah.
No, see, okay, because I love Impractical Jokers. So if it's cringe in that way, I know who he is. Yeah.
Okay.
If it's cringe in that way, then I'm good. But there is certain cringe where I'm like, I'm out, dude. So we'll see.
With Brenna or no?
I made Brenna watch the first episode, which she kind of liked. She was like, I don't know how to feel about this.
Crap.
And then she caught me watching an episode later and was like, this is completely like, oh my God, he's going into that guy's house. Like, this is unacceptable. Yeah. And I was like, this is fucking crazy. This is why the show is great. So again, it's, if nothing else, like, first off, it's the type of comedy, it gets me. It kills me watching this show. But on the flip side, like, I am just a huge fan of somebody that's willing to just bend the boundaries of what we think television is.
Yeah.
I think you should leave.
I mean, it's Nathan For You and I Think You Should Leave are like the two spheres of like my favorite shit. Like, if I Think You Should Leave season two did come out in 2022, it would be number one on my list. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Isn't that greenlit to come out soon?
Oh yeah. They're filming. They're filming, buddy. So that's an off the wall one for me that we might come back to later, but not on any of your lists. So I've only got my one left, but we're winding down for everybody. Kathleen, what was your number two? And again, we've got The Boys.
Oh, wait, so we're going to skip my three to go to two.
Well, Severance was your three.
Three. Yeah. But I thought we would just skip me and go to Luke's three.
My three was Peaky Blinders. So I'm done too.
And your three was
Jimmy's three. We don't know.
Okay, so let's skip me and go to Jimmy's three.
Well, we do know, but I don't think I said it. So our three, or my three, is The Boys.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which is also my
finish
two.
Finish The Boys then. Finish The Boys conversation.
Oh, that's two for Luke. Yeah, so we were putting this on the back burner.
Yeah, we're getting there.
But so let's finish it out.
Let's crush it. Let's crush it.
Go ahead. You're up.
You guys number two, so I'll let you start.
I just think the finale of season one was good.
Can you remind me what's happened at the end of one?
It's not a lot. That's why I didn't like it.
It's the death of Stillwell, and then he drops Homelander. Or Homelander drops Butcher in front of Rebecca. So what specifically turned you off about that?
Well, again, I thought the piece of the show from watching the first season, again, didn't turn me off. I'm going to, Peaky Blinders season two and three of this are on my list. But just when I'm sitting there with my limited amount of time and really nitpicking, or Nick picking.
Okay. Nick. Picnicking it was.
Shout out to Nick.
Great guy.
My favorite part of the show was the kid.
Huey.
What's the actor's name?
Jack Quaid.
Yeah, he's Quaid's son. He was
And Meg Ryan's son.
And Meg Ryan, sorry.
Don't leave her out.
Yeah, feminist podcast.
Yes.
I actually didn't know that.
He's a nepo baby to
Quaid, like, and Quaid and Meg Ryan.
Yeah, he was born to be a star.
No wonder this kid is
about to go into.
No wonder this kid is such a stud.
Yeah.
Scream 5.
Yes, he is.
Which we recommend for anybody who has not seen Scream 5.
He was my favorite part, and I think everybody's favorite part of season one. I mean, everybody relates with that character.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree that, like, they leave you with a cliffhanger of, oh, wow, you know, the guy's wife's not dead and Homelander has a kid with her. But on the flip side, which that's intriguing, but I really cared about Quaid.
Mm-hmm.
And his ending is like, oh, I
love you, Starlight. Yeah, well,
Starlight, we beat the fast guy. It's like, I was like, okay.
We beat the fast guy.
It gets way more convoluted and shit.
Huey has one of the craziest character growth path, I would say, because he's up and down. He's not just good.
Yes.
He's not just getting better and better.
Thank you for saying that.
And, yeah, for sure. He is, and you're right. Like, he is the relatable character. He's the Harry Potter of, like, you know, like, he is the relatable.
He's the Quentin Coldwater baby.
Yeah, exactly. Quentin Coldwater.
Exactly.
I mean, when his girlfriend gets ran through, like, 2 minutes into the show, you're like, oh my
Sold.
God,
this, Sold.
Yeah.
This is going to be crazy.
So I'll say, like, yeah, I think you will appreciate the journey that Huey goes on in the next couple seasons. And the biggest change from season one to two and three, in my opinion, is they lean way more into the satirical side of focusing on politics.
Yeah.
Which to me, I see it turning.
We already know Luke's a politics.
He's a politician.
Yeah, like, I don't mind that, but I understand why it turns
Gus, people. Does Gus from Breaking Bad get more involved? Because he was in the.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, who's that?
Gus. It's
the boys.
It's the head of Vought. The.
My God. King.
Yeah. Oh, he's super.
I mean, if you like him, Better Call Saul and mm-hmm. Breaking Bad. I mean, come on.
Like I mentioned earlier when Jimmy brought up Peaky Blinders, I have Cillian Murphy on my Mount Rushmore. I also have. Tony Starr,
yeah.
Who plays Homelander. On
you know
Mount
about
Rushmore.
I mean, I know what a Mount Rushmore is, and I can. I'm not. Dumb.
So it basically just means your top four actors.
Character performance.
Yeah,
actors, character performances, yeah. Specifically. And like, I think he carries every single scene he's in. Like, and season two, it leans way more into Homelander as well, which is like my favorite piece about this.
Yeah.
But yeah, like season three also brings in. Jensen Ackles. So Ty, I don't know if you know Supernatural. Like if you know what that is though, right?
Like TV show Supernatural. It's got like 30 seasons.
It's like yeah, it's,
continue going.
Either way, it's just one of those like cult classics that's been on cable TV and it ended relatively recently. And this guy
is it similar to Animorphs?
But this guy comes
only
in
I know what Animorphs is out of our group. Oh, okay.
So this guy comes in as a supporting actor in season three, and Jimmy, you know from just the marketing
oh, yeah.
Binge Town, like this guy took over the world
yeah.
for a little bit, and he gives one of the most fun, unexpected performances of like a superhero. Like just it was just incredible to have him in here. And this show knows exactly what it's doing when it comes to casting. Every single actor on the show
yep.
is a top-notch
so
actor.
Fun. Yeah.
You can argue here and there, like where they're going in season.
I love the guy that plays Homelander.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Tony Starr. Yeah.
Tony Starr getting in trouble overseas, beating someone up and not even getting a lick of trouble.
No. A show that many people don't watch, but I would recommend too, is Banshee.
Yeah, I heard that's very, very good.
Starring.
Right.
And he's a brunette.
Just for him, literally.
Yeah, so when I watched the first season, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Banshee's in this.
I will say season three was received less. I guess
towards the end.
Yeah. People didn't love it as much, but I think that this show is so far and above like what's being made nowadays that a bad season from this show, quote unquote, which I don't even necessarily agree, is still almost a 10 out of 10.
Great.
Like
what's the Rotten Tomatoes on season three?
The Rotten Tomatoes was a 98% from critics and 83% from audience.
Yeah. Well, I think let's meet him in the middle at a 90 or something.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
And like from the people on Binge Town that podcast on it, I think I'm even higher than like Kathleen, Paul, Jimmy, or Kathleen, Paul, Brian,
Dave.
And Dave. I think we all kind of agree. You, Kathleen, you had it at five.
I had it at five, but I mean,
totally
God,
fine.
One of the best shows of all time.
Totally fine. Like when season four comes out, I'm sure it's going to be the only thing I'm thinking about for 6 months. So like, I'm just ready for it. It's amazing. And this is one of the shows where I feel super confident blindly recommending it to anybody, regardless of me knowing their taste.
Right.
Because like Tyler said, like in the first 10 minutes that death scene for Huey's girlfriend happens, you're in. The pacing's there. The acting's there. The writing's there. It's amazing.
The first episode is great.
Yes, for sure.
And this is definitely, I mean, again, it's nice because we have different perspectives on this pod. And yeah, I think I'm when I see like the ads for it, it's one of those deals where I'm like, fuck, I can't let myself get too far behind because eventually like one of the ads is going to be something that I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've heard nothing but good things. And the boys being on all three of your lists is definitely a heads up for.
Yes.
Right.
Showboy.
Showboy. The boy.
Well,
you're okay. Number three with Severance, right?
So, Kathleen, we need to get to you for your number two.
My number two is season 4 of Stranger Things. What a banger. Me, Jimmy, and Luke did a quick recap of season 4 on the pod. We didn't cover it episode by episode, but that will change for the next episodes that come out.
Is this on anybody else's before we go further?
Honorable mention for me.
Not an honorable mention?
I'll say a piece when
okay.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
I love Stranger Things from the start. I know Luke, it took him a little while. He binged it this year. Jimmy was a Stranger Things boy, just like me, for a very long time.
Yep.
The hype was real for Stranger Things in the beginning, right? It took the world by storm. I think the time between seasons and also just in general, like hype dies down. Mm-hmm. I feel like for season 3, it wasn't as hype. You could walk into any Hot Topic and see Stranger Things gear, right?
Yep.
Hot Topics still exist?
Oh, yeah. And that's some good shit, dude. Kathleen's got a Christmas present coming.
So,
spoiler.
Season 4 of Stranger Things dropped in two parts, which again, interestingly enough, every show on my list had some sort of week by week. Stranger Things is the only one that's kind of fake where it dropped maybe, 7 episodes and then 2?
Yeah, sounds
9 total. So everything else is a week by week. And again, I think Tyler said this earlier, like the water cooler of it all, being able to talk about it with people week by week. I think it's coming back. I think the delayed drop is coming back. Binging is in the past. Mm-hmm. I loved it. So Stranger Things, like everyone loved it for the nostalgia. I think now that they're becoming like actual adults, it's becoming like even more and more real drama. I mean, running up that hill took the world by storm again. 37 years later, number one hit. I can't even like Stranger Things was such a fucking like hype.
Kathleen is physically excited.
What show could be like, it's a 2-hour episode, deal with it. Yeah. What the fuck?
That's what I was going to say, because again, this was one of my final 12. It wasn't in my top 5, but it's funny to me that like with everything going on in television right now, when Stranger Things comes out, me and my wife just, we're like, oh yeah, we're going to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like the episodes that came out after the fact, we started watching them and I'm like, we're like an hour and a half in and I like hit the button on my TV. I'm like, how much fucking longer?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God. It's
there are many movies.
They do. I will say this season, I thought this season really paid off. I think they did a really great job. And they've done it. I think the challenge to your point is as these characters age, how are you going to do that?
But
you know, season 2 gets into this. We thought we were going to have like a spin-off world of.
they're going to try hard to bring her back in 5.
Which I don't know. I think I feel like they've just been like, oh fuck, that's a terrible idea.
I mean, they probably should, but
with 7's whole arc in this latest season, they kind of make you believe that oh, no one else matters from that fucking.
I mean, they pretty much retconned her out for now. I mean, they showed they showed that everybody had the same powers, and then that season, that's the thing, because we did a podcast on the finale, and there are some plot holes or some things that we had to discuss.
And I was drunk during it, so go listen to that. Me and Luke were like 3 whiskeys.
Kathleen was getting drunker and drunker as we went on.
We had just interviewed Regina King Chen, who plays the fucking amazing
Counselor Kelly.
She was so fucking cool that the whiskey was just like absolutely bonging down my throat. I couldn't even help it. It was so fun. Anyway, so this is what I want to say about season 4 and just like the trajectory of Stranger Things. So, I mean, the White Claws are doing the same thing as the whiskey. So, season 1 was obviously like Mike, 11, like Dustin was, you know, that was the hype.
Yeah.
By this season, I'm like,
he's got
Max,
weird teeth. It's kind of
Robin.
Cute.
Yeah. Max, Robin, Steve. And it's like they take these secondary characters and make them the hype of the show. Like I think Luke mentioned it on me, Tyler, and Luke's last episode, Eddie playing the guitar. One of us mentioned it. is one of the greater moments of television, right? Was, of 2022.
That was ballsy. Yeah, the thing that
you could just play the speakers loud, but
the thing that they leave out in the finale is what's going to happen to the basketball team next season.
Yeah. I knew somebody was going to be worrying about that.
I mean, look, we all know that the kid, one of the main character kid, just got lucky with that final shot. He's not the star.
Caleb? Oh, yeah. Lucas. Caleb McLaughlin's his name in real
life. Lucas is not going to be the star, but he's going to be thrust into that role. This is the intrigue that we're all looking forward to in the next season.
My one piece I'll say on the Stranger Things, I had a note here to say, bring it up if nobody put Stranger Things in here, because yeah, this is right under my honorable mentions.
Right under the honorable.
Right on.
So I don't know how many honorable mentions we're allowed to have.
I had three.
Okay. I had multiple.
I have a
so
Stranger. Like, we're just going to rattle off shows at the end of the podcast. Yeah, so, anybody that's made it through this whole thing.
So here,
they deserve
to be two parts.
They deserve recommendations.
Yeah. So here's the last thing. I don't need to add anything else. Kathleen, Tyler, Luke, you nailed it for talking about the season. But what I do want to add is, as the Bingetown member that works with the social media, TikTok, YouTube Shorts, all that kind of stuff, there is not another show out there right now that's more popular and has stayed as popular for viral kind of post, viral content, things that people want to see. No matter what you post, if it's Stranger Things, it'll pop off because people are just obsessed with Stranger Things and they've stayed that way. There are, and this is getting into like, you know, social media talk, but there are accounts that started posting shit in June when it came out, and because it was so popular, they just got like hundreds of thousands of followers, and they just did it at the right time. And it's really not dropping off. There's not really, like, it's more so social media wise than Game of Thrones. I'm not saying like talk wise, but like a lot of,
I mean,
I don't know if there's a bigger show out there.
Most watched show on Netflix.
Not anymore.
Wednesday.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. I didn't know that was going to happen, but
yeah. I mean, that makes me think that they just got, it's like the CBS metrics where they've just got like a bunch of old people watching Netflix. But we can talk about those metrics later. But it is funny, like, and they've also gotten in Stranger Things, they've, as the kids have grown, I feel like the Duffer brothers have also like elevated in the terms of like the creepiness of their content too, because like, dude, I'm telling you, in the end of the first episode of this new season, when the girl gets crumpled up, like one of the creepier things I fucking ever
seen. Is that
Chrissy? Wake up.
Yeah, Chrissy. Well, no, it's Chrissy. It's Chrissy.
I mean, you've set an interesting stage here, because it's broken that everybody's five through two
is done,
and we've got the number one. So I'm going to throw the quick little, you know, the wrench in for you bros. And
well, me and Luke have the same number one.
Well, look,
me too.
At the end of when you say you're number one, we each have to pick another person here, so everybody can be picked once, and you have to make them watch a show that's on your top five that they haven't seen.
Wait, say it one more
okay,
time.
Okay, but here's the problem. I think we've seen me, Kathleen, and Luke have all seen each other's top five, right?
Honorable mentions in this category.
Yeah, honorable mentions. Just fine.
So it can't be that we all pile on Kathleen and say, watch three shows, right?
No, you're right.
We go around the horn, and you make one of the other hosts here watch your show, and we'll come back in a couple months, and we can talk about the other
show.
For
sure. Okay.
But I think I might know from the pod where you folks are going with your number one, but I'll go through for our listeners that are sticking with us, and we love you, down to for everybody's top five. So for Jimmy, number five, 1899. Number four, Peaky Blinders, season six. Number three, The Boys, season three. Number two, Severance. For Kathleen, number five, The Boys, season three. Number four, White Lotus, season two. Number three, Severance. Number two, Stranger Things, season four. For Luke, number five, The Last Kingdom, season five. Number four, Severance. Number three, Peaky Blinders, season six. Number two, The Boys, season three. And then for Chaboy, number five, Barry, season three. Number four, The Rehearsal. Number three, White Lotus, season two. And then number two, Severance. So coming in for a landing.
Nice to be a little different, Tyler. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, I mean, Look,
that's, no, I appreciate your I appreciate it.
I'm a very special boy. That's
we're an echo chamber. Our podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just trying to break through. Like, hey, watch Severance.
I mean, you literally did completely.
You did, and it happened, and we all love it.
So I'm gonna give it to my main man Jimmy here. What's number one for you?
House of the Dragon.
Same.
House of the Dragon.
We've got three House of Dragons. So this is actually interesting because you've done a lot of pods on it.
Mm-hmm.
So people that follow Binge-On know this show, but I'm coming to you as someone I've watched all Game of Thrones.
Right.
Not a huge Game of Thrones guy, if I'm being, you know, it's fine, but I'm not like putting in my pantheon. It's not on my Mount Rushmore. Let's just say that.
Okay.
And I haven't watched House of Dragons.
Right.
So what's the sell? Give it to me.
I'll tell you right now. It's called House of the Dragon.
I heard it's just a lot more. It's
more dragons than just one.
We've got time jumping. We've got fucking each other as siblings, and we've
all right.
I said Squid Games for like 6 months before I realized it was Squid Games.
Don't
worry about saying House.
So all right, here's the deal, Tyler. Okay, there's not many people in this world that have watched Game of Thrones that will say I'm not a Game of Thrones guy or girl. So hell yeah. So my argument, my pitch was going to be three words. And these three words aren't going to work on you, but they're going to work for everyone else. And that's Thrones is back.
Yeah,
okay.
Baby.
So
love it.
The deal is when it comes to House of the Dragon, everyone was hoping it was going to be back to Game of Thrones. Everyone was wondering if people were going to even jump back on. No one knew. I mean, there's a lot of hype, but there's a lot of, like, if you're trying to get a pulse for the audience and you're just doing things like YouTube polls or Twitter polls, a lot of Reddit, you know, people, and that they're usually a little bit toxic, but a lot of people said, yo, season 8 of Game of Thrones ruined it. I'm out. I don't give a shit anymore. Okay. Well, Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon came back and it blew everything out of the water in ways where I want to say something that might be a hot take when it comes to Kathleen and Timani, where I think that saying that White Lotus is a water cooler show compared to House of Dragon is like
different tiers.
Yeah, it's like ridiculously different tiers. Like times a million. Okay.
Agreed. I totally agreed with that. They're totally different genres, but in a way where people like to talk about like fucked up stuff. Mm-hmm. Whereas House of the Dragon is Game of Thrones.
I agree that White Lotus is
fucked up. You like to talk about it.
I agree that White Lotus is being talked about. It's very popular and it's definitely a water cooler show. But House of the Dragon,
like Euphoria, like how,
yes.
But we're talking House of the Dragon. I'm not gonna look on my computer for the numbers, but billions and billions, like records for HBO, for any television show being watched. But if we're gonna talk about the actual show, the acting, the darkness, the characters, everything that you loved about, sorry, Tyler, I don't know if you loved it, but everything you loved about original Game of Thrones is exactly back.
New but familiar lore. Doing it on the pod, Jimmy joined us for the last two. Thank God he just honeymooned for too damn long. God,
I need to get back on
but
the pod.
Me and
I was
Luke,
actually honeymooning in Italy with Theo James.
Seeing the White Lotus.
Yeah.
I was saying he was on the White Lotus.
Yeah,
you didn't see it.
I was in the background with.
Make sure you use him as a dick double. Yeah, Theo James.
I got paid $10. I don't know what they were using it for, but.
Me, Luke, and Kyle plotted about it. Kyle was our lore master. He is a super book fan and told us every little detail that you wouldn't get from the episode. It made it that much sweeter, that much better to have talked about every detail. It just the more you dive into it, the better it got, which is the opposite of some shows we cover, right? The more you dive into it, you're like, oh, that doesn't really, I don't know about that. House of the Dragon, fucking fucked.
What,
like episode
son?
After episode.
The only show
so
that made
we just did an eye roll. That
I too.
It was like an orgasm. Oh my god, the House of Dragons.
They premiered on Sunday. It was the only thing that made Mondays great for like a whole stretch of 8 weeks. It was fucking amazing. Like, we had such a good time. And I've said this 7 million times on the podcast. I am the biggest hater of season 8 of Game of Thrones. Like, I know, like, I don't know anybody that hates it more than I do.
Yeah.
And this was the biggest uphill battle ever. And, you know, first couple episodes, I was a little like hesitant to like say stamp of approval, but by like 3 or 4, we were just, I was so in,
so fun
that I just like was so willing to write off all the fucking negative feelings I had in the past. Season one of House of the Dragon is like on the trajectory where didn't have to worry about world building, but it's going to the like already like the prime seasons of Game of Thrones, where I'm just everything that's happening.
Where is this again, amazing. Coming as someone that didn't get to see it? Like, I know that it's following the Targaryens. Where, how much before Game of Thrones?
170 years is the
before
first
Danny is shown on.
So
screen,
we're time jumping a lot, right?
And the first,
well, we're not getting back to the throne's timeline, no. But we're jumping like 10 years at a time here.
It jumps like 25 or 27 years within the first season.
But now it's supposed to be a slowdown for the next two to three seasons.
Because we got good viewership in HBO.
So, well, no. We're done with all the family world building, and we're basically at the age of the actors where they're not going to. I'm sure you've heard they shifted main character actors. We're done with that.
Yeah.
We're at the stage where the actors are their age, that it's going to play out the next three seasons. And like, this is, and then that'll be it. And it's no
coincidence that Game of Thrones started falling apart when they didn't have George R. R. Martin anymore and they didn't have the source material and they started not listening to George R. R. Martin.
Yeah.
What do we call him? D&D. D&D. They ended up hilariously basically saying, like, we have a show here about fantasy and we don't want the fantasy to be in it, which is like holy shit, right? So they ended up finishing their story, everyone hated it, whatever, but George R. R. Martin is back for House of the Dragon. He has Fire and Blood written. There's going to be a second book, but he is giving them, I don't think he necessarily directed anything like he did in Game of Thrones, but he is there to make sure everything is going down right. And it's really good in a way where you get like a mini prequel where you have those actors before the time jump, where like if you're reading Fire and Blood, you're kind of getting there quicker. But they give us this prequel where we're like slow burning to get us ready. And then they're like, boom, act one, let's go. You know, you have a little bit of a prequel and then you go right into act one and you're like, here we freaking go.
And Matt Smith.
I will also say it's way more siloed where, yeah, it's mostly Targaryens, some Driftmark, some other places, but season one of Game of Thrones, I remember watching being like,
you're going all over the map.
Yeah. Are any of these people? What are any of their names? Whereas in this season, you're isolated to King's Landing, basically. Isolated to King's Landing, a little bit of Driftmark, a little bit of what's the other place? I forget off the top of my head, but like,
you're at Storm's End for a little bit.
Millie Alcock, Emily Carey, Olivia Cooke, Emma Darcy, Matt Smith, and Patty Considine.
Like, let's
fucking ride all day.
Back in 2011. If I remember correctly,
you're the one who told me to watch Game of Thrones. Yes,
I was a Game of Thrones trailblazer.
Yes,
hell yeah,
season two.
He's a pioneer. This guy totally lost me.
And so the funny thing about Game of Thrones is that season three and four is where it really took off for people, like where it became a phenomenon. And the thing was that people saw it a lot differently, whether you could binge it or watch it week to week. And season two did lose a lot of people week to week.
And when we were living together when it was on season five, I think, is when I started like just plowing through it and going back through it. And Jim was my shepherd up that hill.
Either way, we all know, like, we've talked about Kathleen and Jimmy so much. Like, this show was the highlight of the year in terms of TV for me.
Love
and
it.
I will watch, you know, I just count the days until.
If it's the water cooler talk, then the Bingetown TV pod has got to be at the center of that water cooler.
Damn right. 100%. And the last thing that I'll say, Tyler, and again, this isn't really good for you as a pitch because you're not a huge Thrones fan, but anyone listening who is a Thrones fan, it's so good that it makes you even more sad that it ended bad with the original Thrones.
Yeah.
Like, you actually have this weird feeling while watching House of the Dragon going like, oh my God,
you know,
I can't believe it
happened.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. I mean, there's rumors they're trying to retcon some stuff, but we'll see how that goes.
Jon Snow show.
There's some rumors. We'll see. They're trying to fix it.
I'm shocked that Kit Harington's career hasn't really taken off.
Well, he was in the Eternals and it's
Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Eternals is one of the lower ranked.
Kit Harington wasn't in Eternals.
Yeah, he was.
He's him and
Kit Harington and Rob Stark back together.
Yeah.
And
Kit Harington was also having some personal issues. So.
Yeah, he went into like rehab.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. This the Game of Thrones.
All right. Well, look, this is an upbeat podcast. I'm gonna go with my
number one.
I'm gonna take us home, and then we're all gonna have to tell each other a show that we need to watch. So start looking at your echo chamber and what you can break out of, because I've got multiple things I can throw at you. My number one was, and this is surprising to me, but when I really thought through 2022, this is the show that just, I think it surprised me the most, and it kind of touched on every piece we talked about, like being in the zeitgeist, etc. And that is The Bear, which was a show on Hulu, but an FX show, which I've talked on this pod before about how much I love FX. I'll give the quick synopsis of why I loved it so much. But has everyone here seen it or familiar with it?
I am familiar with it. Have not seen it. Kyle is a big fan.
I've
watched
it
in 2 days, baby. Fucking loved it.
Yeah, me too.
Love that.
But it's not. Is it on anything for you?
It was my honorable mentions until he sent his list, and I was like, I'll just let him handle that.
Okay, yeah.
It being number one for me is honestly somewhat a love letter to FX producing, because I just FX. I love the way they, like, for non HBO shows, I love the way FX make shows, and I think they really understand, like, through Snowfall, there's so many FX shows that
Sons of Anarchy.
Snowfall.
I still love Sons of Anarchy.
And Legion.
Guilty pleasure.
But look, I'm a big fan of Jeremy Allen White. So for
Lip.
Those, yeah, so Lip from
Shameless.
He's been in a lot of things, but I think the biggest piece was, you know, I'm not somebody that's ever worked for any amount of time in the food industry. But I think part of it was, like, until this point, it was kind of, if you think about it, like, said, you can't make a drama about being in the food industry. Like, there's no shows, there's movies about, oh, I'm going to be a chef or whatever. But, like, there's no shows about the inner workings of what it's like to be in a kitchen. And it's been awesome, because when I watched it, my first thought was like, man, is that what it's like in a kitchen? And it's great. Like, I have friends in the industry, as I'm sure all you do. And they're like, yep. That is fucking exactly how it is. Yeah. Like, I can't believe the show's like that. So that's the first piece I love. But 8 episodes, it really just grips you into, you know, again, simple premise. Hey, I'm a fucking incredible, you know, esteemed chef whose brother dies, and I have to go run his shitty roast beef shop in Chicago. And the character development in 8 episodes. And honestly, we were talking about finales before. And Kathleen's filling up a White Claw because she really wants to get into this episode. But so I know you're a John Bernthal fan.
I am a huge John Bernthal
as well.
Fan.
Punisher Man.
John Bernthal is
Shane.
He's got a small part in this because he is Lip's brother who is dead in the beginning of the show, and they show some.
Oh,
flashbacks.
Okay. Yeah.
But the final sequence of this show, the ending of this, of the first season, is just, to me, like, it honestly is making my eyes well up just talking about it. It's just a beautiful end of a season. And it's just one of those shows that, like, it's got this mix of actors and actresses that you've never heard of before. So it's giving a platform to a lot of people. The writing's incredible. And I'm just a sucker for 8 episode, 30 minute shows that just fucking nail it.
I didn't know it was 30 minutes shows. Yeah. Okay.
They told you day.
Oh,
days,
I mean,
damn.
The seventh.
So episode, what should I watch?
The seventh episode is only, I think, like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Literally,
it's
like
anxiety inducing.
It's literally like the kitchen exploding because of something. And like, it has certain episodes that you're just like, I didn't think that they would nail this in a TV show.
Well,
and it just fucking went for it. And it was also, FX was like, I don't know if this show's good. They put it on a Hulu as a Hulu only show. And like, I watched it and told a couple people to watch it. And then like, it was one of those other shows, before you know it, like, everybody, you know, has seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they're all like, this is fucking.
And they're all like, heard.
So it actually didn't get a full drop on FX. It was put fully.
It was exclusively an FX on Hulu show.
Oh, okay.
And it's already greenlit.
So do you think season 2 will be aired on Netflix or on Netflix? FX, or will it go to Hulu again?
That I don't know, but I do know, after this show, FX has had Patient, they now have Kindred, so they now are like releasing shows specifically to Hulu.
I like it.
And they have like, and now those shows, so like The Patient was another FX show with Steve Carell and a lot of famous actors.
Was this a drop all at once?
And so The Bear was just like, here it is.
Yeah.
And everybody watched it instantly and was like, holy shit. Like, I don't know the metrics off the top of my head, but Hulu is obviously like the little brother to the Netflix. And it was like, Hulu's investor meetings were literally just, here's a PowerPoint of The Bear viewing.
Yeah.
So
I have so many things I want
to say.
Yeah, a couple of things.
Well, maybe it should be on your top five if you wanted to fucking talk about
it. I trust you to do it, Justin. You just killed it right there. Because if you, anybody listening hasn't heard The Bear, which I'm sure doesn't cross over into our audience that much.
Right.
This is one of those genre transcending type of shows that you should watch regardless. Because this is so the polar opposite of my alley in terms of shows. And I was obsessed. Like, to this day, Kyle, anytime I Venmo request Kyle or he whatever, he always responds, heard or yes, Jeff.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so good. Like, it's just it's already like an inside joke. Jeremy Allen White is one of the most underrated actors ever. Like, he's the reason I watch Shameless.
You watch all of Shameless?
He makes me want to grow long hair.
Yeah, no. The one thing,
picture of Tyler after this.
The one thing you said, though, and I could be wrong about this, but I think this was like one of those Twitter facts, right? Where episode 7 you said was like the shorter one. I'm pretty sure that was true. That was filmed like Haunting of Hill House. The one where it's like one.
It's one frame.
Yeah. So that's why it's short, but it's also like the tension that they can build for a kitchen and make you love these characters. Not the biggest Sydney fan because of the second or third last episode.
She's about to be like, Sydney is such a breakout star.
She has a terrible span of two. Whatever. We're not talking about that.
Well, it's less about her character. Like, that actress is
amazing. She's amazing. Oh, she pissed me the fuck off, though, when she helped.
Richie's blowing up, too. He was in Andor.
I knew him before.
Yeah, shit.
Like, I knew him from other things.
He was in, like, a Law and Order episode that I watched before.
Can SVU?
Jump in?
SVU, of course.
Let me say one more thing and I'm done.
Go ahead.
Jeremy Allen White said that as soon as, like, this show gained steam, he said, like, I don't know, like, how soon after The Bear dropped, he said, the next day I walked into my office or whatever, and I had 12 different scripts on my desk. Like, people, this is what's going to, it's crazy that Shameless didn't put him more on the map. This is what's going to put him on the map. He could literally turn into a movie star because of this.
I mean, it's the mixture of nailing the dynamic of working in a restaurant, which a lot of America and the world has done before.
Relatable.
But also, it deals with mental health. It deals with depression.
Yep.
It deals with it's just like a triumph of a show. And like, I don't want to spoil it for Jim. I won't
spoil it. We spoil on this pod,
but the fact that you haven't seen it, I can't.
He's going to point to you.
You don't want to do that to me, yeah.
He did the method acting kind of thing of actually going to legitimate, just top of the class, top of the market, five-star restaurants and learned. Like, this wasn't like just, he did a full character.
Yeah, Joel McHale has a cameo as his head chef when he's
Yeah.
I just want to say, as third, who it is not on my honorable mention, I really enjoyed it. Me and Alex gobbled it up. It gives me anxiety like the rehearsal did. Whereas I suffered through the show in a way where I could recognize, wow, I would never not finish the show. I really enjoy the show in a way where I am fucking freaking out for 8 episodes.
That's almost...
Think about this, Jimmy. Money problems. Fucking every anxiety you ever think of is happening during the show. But every time I walk past Alex, behind Chef, corner, things like that, you know, Jeff, hilarious. You take things from it but I would never put it on my top
if you've got anxiety, you're going to like the show, but you're going to watch it quick and it's going to be over. And if you got depression, then you're going to watch it, you're just going to love it. Watch it 3 times.
It works because it's so quick. It works because it's less than 4 hours of television and you can watch it in an afternoon if you wanted to. This
fantastic.
Could not work as an hour drama. I would absolutely quit. It's just like, for me and my anxiety, which is above my head, I can't, but I loved it. I love it. It's such a weird show for me because as I was going through my 2022 watch, I saw The Bear. I didn't even highlight it. It was not even highlighted. I went through my.
Oh, it was highlighted right away for me.
Interesting.
Well, look, we're going to come in for a landing. What are we, like, the hour and a half mark here?
We are honorable mentions. Then your wrench.
Well,
get out of here.
Where's that? The wrench.
Wrench right now. Okay, so I'm going to start because I'm the host. And Jim, you're gonna watch The Bear.
Okay, that's easy. You guys just nailed it. That was a pitch town right there.
Tomorrow.
All right, Tyler.
I'm giving you months to watch.
T-Money, we're talking inside jokes here, okay? You want me to watch The Bear? You want me to watch I Think You Should Leave? You tell me right now.
I think You Should Leave isn't even on his five.
Yeah, but because it's not. He said if it was 2022, it would have been his number one.
He wouldn't let me have Yellow Jacket, so he cannot have I Think You Should Leave.
Why? What was Yellow Jacket? It's December or something?
I can, in good conscience, for this show, make you watch that because it didn't come out in 2022.
Okay, but I'll watch it anyway. I promise you.
23. Well, a year from now, you better believe I'm going to make you watch
it. All right. I will gladly watch The Bear.
All right. So, Jim, now it's your turn. So you can pick either me, Luke, or Kathy.
All right. What do you make? T-Money, I'm coming right back at you.
You bitch.
Okay. So I want to do this.
Kathleen's seen all my shows.
Wait, no, your honorable mentions.
Okay.
Honorable mentions.
I haven't seen all your shows, by the way. But it's a lot of work you're making me put in it.
Okay, so, yeah, Last Kingdom.
Like 6 months from now.
All right, so here's the deal, T-Money. There's two options, okay? I mean, listen.
There's
a lot of options here, man. You got Peaky Blinders, we got 1899, we got Last Kingdom. But I know I want you to do Peaky Blinders first.
All right, so I got to watch. So I gave you, 3.5 hours of television. You gave me 2 weeks of television. It seems about fair, but I'll... Peaky Blinders is on my list, and I got to get into it. So that's fair. Luke, you got to throw something at Kathleen.
My only option is The Last Kingdom, right?
No, you could do your honorable mention if you want.
You've seen all my honorable mentions.
Okay.
Hit him with The Last Kingdom.
Wait, that's the only one you haven't seen, though, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I think you'll like The Last Kingdom. You will need to power through season one, like to get the vibe, to actually get attached to the main character. But I think you'll
be able to watch it. So by Q3, I have to be done. Last Kingdom.
We're sitting here July 1st, you better be caught up.
My gosh.
July 1? Okay, I got it.
All right, yeah. I was going to say.
Last but not least, Jimmy.
All right, here are my two honorable mentions, because I just want to talk about it. I've got What We Do in the Shadows, came out with a season this year. That did you watch, Ty?
I'm not caught up with it, but I do enjoy the show.
So,
another FX show.
What We Do in the Shadows, an FX show, a quick show, 20 minutes.
On many high websites.
Oh,
high publications,
it is
top 5 and 10
basically
of 2022.
What it is, for anyone who doesn't know, What We Do in the Shadows is, it's a comedy, obviously, 20 minutes. It is about vampires who live in secret in Staten Island, and it is fucking ridiculous.
It's with
and
our
it
boy
builds,
magicians.
Which one?
Bennington or whatever the fuck his name is.
Benedict. Are you going to make Luke watch that? Is that why you're talking so much about it?
I'm actually going to give it to you if you hadn't seen it, or Jimmy, but I'm going to give it to Luke since he threw Last Kingdom. So What We Do in the Shadows has some of the funniest fucking moments of television I have ever seen. I think it's season 4 just dropped, but they're 10 episodes or 20 minutes long. You're going to absolutely crush this. And my other honorable mention, which I would never choose for anybody, is This Is Us. It was the final season. It's never been talked about on the pod. It made me cry every episode. It was so well done. The actors.
We don't need to hear more.
Deserve a dot of recognition on Binge Town TV.
Mandy Moore
has now made her way to Binge Town TV.
Sterling K. Brown,
the
king of all kings. This Is Us closed it out on a well. It is so hard to be an NBC drama these days, or an ABC drama.
Sound like Connie Britton.
Every week, I couldn't wait. I watched it at the gym because I knew it would just keep me fucking walking. I was walking hard.
There you go.
So I just want to say that what we do in the shadows. I'll be watching The Last Kingdom. Jimmy will be watching.
Now, for anybody
that's Bear.
The Bear.
And I'll be watching Peaky Blinders.
I can't believe I have to watch a billion episodes of The Last Kingdom.
So look, if anybody's still with us, why don't we rattle off the shows that were on our list that didn't make it quickly? We don't need to give them. I'll start off. We don't need to give them any, but it's just put them on your list if you've seen all of these shows we talked about. So on my list that I didn't mention, Better Call Saul, Andor, Atlanta, Reservation Dogs, Euphoria, Dahmer, and The Showcase. And the staircase, but I'll take the showcase, the showcase showdown as well. Jim,
I'm gonna only say my two honorable mentions, and they were Stranger Things and White Lotus.
Okay, mine were Sandman on Netflix, 1899, which was on Jimmy's list, Love, Death, and Robots, which is just the animated version of Black Mirror that I think Tyler would love. And then
I enjoy that show,
yeah. And then the last one is Apple TV's For All Mankind, which I've kind of...
Oh, yes, you did talk about that before.
And I already did mine. So This Is Us and What We Do in the Shadows.
I appreciate you guys' time. And for everybody that stuck with us, these were our top fives for 2023. A lot of good shows. Again, check it out on Twitter.
YouTube, oh, man. We're all over the place. Apple.
TikTok.
Instagram. All
first of all, all of your favorite podcast apps. We're also on YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, everything. Bingetown TV.
Get with it or get lost.
Get with it or get lost, and you can pick us apart for these lists.
Appreciate, love it.
Appreciate y'all.
We are Bingetown TV.
And thanks
for listening.
And thanks you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
It was cozies, Luke. That was in Severance what he was pitching.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.